Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the stars shining bright in Hollywood when it mattered most. The biggest names made the biggest plays of Super Bowl 56. Meanwhile, Burrow's Bengals battered and bruised. Was there anything they could have or should have done differently? On this Super Sunday, we've answered those questions. And how was the best player on the field, not the MVP? He made the two biggest plays of his life. Will they be his last? Oh, there are so many questions, but we've got the answers as we get up with you. Starting right now on Super Monday, we welcome you to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. We got Jeff. We got Neek. We've got an empty chair here. It's not a Seder. We are saving a seat for Orlovsky, who is on a red eye from L.A. and will be here Monday
camp, baby!
But we begin with the sights, the sounds, the smells of Super Bowl 56. Here we go from SoFi. Joe Burrow, what do we think of the suit?
I mean, look fresh.
Nope.
Meanwhile, Aaron Donald was all business. Here we go. Early first quarter. Neek, they go for it on a fourth down early. Do you like it?
I love being aggressive right there, but look a little further outside and throw it to the open guy.
Yeah, Higgins wide open. Got to make that play.
Probably had an opportunity. Don't get it. Instead, they're going the other way. Odell was set up for a big day, Neek.
Awesome. Everybody in the country loved watching Odell come back and play well, except for Cleveland, but it was outstanding.
Rams up 7-0, and Beckham did look very comfortable early. Meanwhile, Jeff Saturday, how about the catch here from Ja'Marr Chase?
Listen, Ramsey talked about being one-on-one. He was asking for it. Ja'Marr Chase does a great job setting up his route, beating across Ramsey, going, using the speed. But look at the catch. Him hawking this thing down one-handed. Incredible, incredible play by him right there.
It's a 46-yard grab. He had five catches, 89 yards. Bengals would kick a field goal, 7-3. Rams, 3rd-and-11. Beckham again.
Again, whenever they played man coverage against Beckham, he was getting loose. He was on track to potentially be MVP in this game.
And that sets up this. Speaking of a mismatch, how is Cooper Kupp alone in the back of the end zone, Jeff?
Can't have it. Apple's eyes, I think, come to the backfield. He sees the rollout. Too late, baby. You hesitate. It's too late. Wide open in the back of the backfield. Cooper Kupp, how does he get wide open, Fox? Come on, man.
He's caught a touchdown in 15 games this year. Rams would miss the extra point. They botched the snap, actually. 13-3, but then sneaky Bengals.
Sometimes the hardest place to score is when the field is contracted in the red zone. Use a little trickeration to get them open and score six.
Strategery.
Joe Mixon with the pass to Higgins in the back of the end zone. 13-10, under 4 minutes to go in the half. Stafford looking for Beckham. This is a huge moment and a terrible one in the game.
Yeah, I feel like the Rams offense was really rolling, and it seemed like they may not be able to slow them or stop them until this happened. The offense went in the tank from here on out.
You could see it immediately. Beckham out. It's a non-contact knee injury. We'll get an update on it today, but it looked bad. 3rd-and-14, Jeff. You just fling it up in the end zone and see what happens.
Yeah, arm punt, can't have it, right? 3rd-and-14, I get it, but don't do it. It's a 50-50 ball. Bates actually makes a really good play to undercut it to get that.
But here's what you can't do. What is Vernon Hargraves doing in the end zone?
You're in slides and a hat, bro. You got a towel on your neck. Stay your butt on the sideline, dude. No business doing that.
It's a 15-yard penalty, and it could potentially have been a big deal. 2 minutes to change the way the half ends. Either way, 13-10 Rams. Half. First play of the second half. Neek.
Yeah, this is a big play. As a DB, you expect to get pushed and pulled a little bit, but you can't grab my damn face mask. That's too far.
This is flag.
This is cheating?
Yeah.
You ain't cheating. Yes. You ain't trying. Okay. You ain't trying, Dominique.
That's fair. They're trying.
Make them call it, and they don't. It's a 75-yard touchdown. Bengals up 17-13. Then, Jeff, what do you always say about tip balls?
Hey, tips are picks, baby. Can't happen. Is that Northwestern?
I'm not sure.
Scott. But either way, you can't have it.
He transferred to Notre Dame. Stafford frustrated after the play. Enormous moment here, though, because the Bengals have a real chance to take control, but Aaron Donald is not having
physical
it.
Physical domination. Hands inside, taking that man for a ride, using his body to sack Burrow. You want to talk about domination. That's what it looks like.
So they hold him to a field goal, 20-13 Cincinnati. Under 4 minutes in the third, Rams again. Stafford goes down. This was scary.
Oh, yeah, it was a scary moment when he got his ankle rolled up like that. Like, I don't see many players come back from that. Shout out to the training staff. I don't know what type of magic tape they use, but it worked.
That's same? A tough son of a gun.
So is the other guy, though, because here's Burrow being sacked by Von Miller. I can't believe he stayed in the
Me
game.
Me either. Look at the – I mean, the whole pocket collapses. It's like seven dudes on him, like a swarm of bees. And his knee, I literally thought he was done, y'all. This was a scary moment.
Screaming like that. Protect my quarterbacks, guys.
Burrow sacked seven times, a Super Bowl record. Under 7 minutes. This is a huge play on a 3rd and 9, a bad drop from Tyler Boyd.
Oh, yeah. He put it there. Would have made it closer to get a first down, potentially put the game away, but nope.
It was his first drop pass of the whole season, so the Rams get it back. They face a 4th and short. Jeff, huge moment here.
Gotta love it. Look, McVay, people talked about his play calling. How about this? This is a huge gutsy call. Handed to his best player, coming in jet motion, takes that thing and converts the first down. Huge play.
Cooper Kupp was all over this final enormous drive of the game. Later in the drive, 2nd and 7. A no-look pass.
This is out of...
You got worse.
The biggest drive of your life, and you look it off? Outrageous.
As Kupp again keeps the Rams moving. Here's a big moment. 3rd and goal from the 8. Stafford incomplete, but Logan Wilson called for defensive holding. Jeff, is it a good call?
Terrible. With a U, terrible. By the way, the Rams jumped off sides. They were false start. The play shouldn't even happen, but you cannot call that thing right there.
Either way, Rams get a fresh set of downs. Stafford corner of the end zone. Kupp looks like a touchdown. We got offsetting penalties. Kupp gets hit in the head.
Oh, yeah. It was really tough for him to take that shot and then come right back, and they go at him again. He's a heck of a player.
Reminded me of Edelman a few years ago. So coming back from that shot, that was a huge play by Kupp to come back.
They're just not taking him off the field in that moment. And then you got another pass interference on Eli Apple. Is this a good call?
Yeah, that's a good call. It's a tough spot right there for Eli Apple against the best receiver in the game right now.
And Kupp, he certainly proved it yesterday. He had 8 catches, 92 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Here comes the second, Jeff, to win the game.
Look, 1-on-1, a little fade in the end zone. Again, Apple got no shot right here. You can go either way, over the top of him or throw it behind him. Great play between Stafford and Kupp. Listen, your best two. When it's all on the line, make it happen, and they do.
Rams finally take the lead. You mentioned their best two. How about that guy? He almost counts as two. Burrow leads the Bengals back out there for a chance to win it and be the hero, and it starts well, Neek, to chase.
It's a great ball by Burrow to throw it away from Ramsey. Big play. You got an enormous leg kicker. You're feeling good about your chances of tying this up.
But then, Jeff, if these are the last two plays of his career, Aaron Donald, they may have been his best.
Two most dominant plays by the most dominant player on the field and the best player on the field. That dude took that man, used his butt to block one hole, grabs him and throws him backwards. Just man over man right here. Oh, look at this, y'all. This is 4th and 1. Ball's coming out quick. He beats him as clean as you can beat him to close it out. MVP. MVP.
He doesn't get the award. They give it to Cooper Kupp, but they certainly could have given it to Aaron Donald. That was the 3rd down play, and here's the 4th down play. Again, Donald talking about retirement. If they were the final two plays of his career, they win his team a Super Bowl. They earn his coach a Gatorade bath. At 36, Sean McVay's a champion. So is Odell. Emotional afterwards. Maybe Burrow will have other days. We'll see. But for Matt Stafford, he's waited a professional lifetime to hold the trophy. What a win. The Rams are the champs.
I promise you guys, you know, I was mic'd up so you guys can hear. When it was the 4th down and you could see they got into the shotgun and they were probably not going to run the football, I said Aaron's going to close the game out right here. And he is the effing man.
Been here 8 years, a lot of ups and downs. So to see it come full circle, you know, and be a world champion, you know, all that hard work you put into this game, that's what it's for.
I didn't know what to think. I was just a little emotional and so happy to be you know, world champ, and so happy to be a part of this group. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's not me. It's not any individual on this team. We're a group. We're a team. And to get it done together was so special.
You know, you'd like to think that we're going to be back in this situation, you know, multiple times over the course of the next few years. So, you know, we take this and, you know, let it fuel you for the rest of our careers.
A remarkable Super Bowl to cap an unbelievable postseason. And, ladies and gentlemen, he has made it fresh off of the red eye from Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. The confetti flies, baby.
What did you guys do yesterday? Look, and you guys enjoyed the Hall of Fame? Dan, you guys just have a bunch of chip and dips.
so good.
Have a seat, my man. Well, we have so much to do.
Brittany, I'm not. Props.
Stand by.
Of course.
Yes. Dan's
got props. I don't have the Top Gun jacket because I came from L.A., but yeah. I am going to wear the same shirt that I wore yesterday. It's got a little beer on it. There's a little,
yeah.
a little celebration.
A little celebration.
Let's see what we got. Orlovsky.
Matthew Freakin'
What's up, America? We're coming in hot.
Okay. Oh. Have a seat, my friend, and let's go through it here. Let's start with, as reasonably as you can, analyze that drive that he makes to win a Super Bowl championship, knowing, as you do, better than almost anybody. This is a guy who played all those years in Detroit, had all of that disappointment. To be put in this position, he goes there for one goal and one goal only. You got to win a championship or bust. He's got one drive to make it all work, and he does it.
Well, it's one drive to go to the Hall of Fame, and that's exactly what I was in the press box with his family and his friends, and his wife was going nuts, Kelly, and I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, 6 minutes. He needs 1 6-minute drive to become a Super Bowl champion and go into the Hall of Fame. And for a long time, I've tried to tell everybody, this is when he's at his most comfortable place. This is when he believes in himself the most, when he's at his most peaceful state. And, you know, in the moment, he just believes that he is going to, and Nick, when you guys were reading the highlight, you said, how do you make that no-look throw? Dude, he's done that 150 times. It just has never been looked at because it happened in Detroit and it wasn't for the Super Bowl. That was just another Sunday afternoon for him. Candidly, it was just another Sunday afternoon for him. It's just the stakes were at their absolute highest.
So let me ask a variety of questions that I think a lot of fans who didn't play the game at the highest level as you guys did would have. Let's start with that last draft. We were going to start with Aaron Donald. We didn't think Dan was going to make it so quickly. We are delighted that you did. We'll get to Donald. But let's go to that last drive because early in the game, Cooper Kupp was a factor. And then it felt like he disappeared. And as I'm watching the game, I'm thinking, whatever they're doing on Kupp, it is working like crazy. And then on that final drive, you see the numbers. 4 for 4, has the touchdown. That doesn't even include the one that he caught that gets called back and some of the other moments he draws the interference. Why was Kupp so effective on that final drive when it felt they had done such a good job shutting him down?
Well, I think it's because they were not effective in man coverage. So they were forced to play a lot of cover 3 in that final drive, some cover 4. And because Cooper Kupp's ability to play in the slot, play on either side, you can't really customize the coverage to take him away. You're playing zone. He's going to find the open spots in the zone. And I think the biggest reason why he balled in that moment is because he and Matt Stafford decided, Sean McVay too, decided before they went out there on their drive, they're going to get the ball to the best player.
No matter what.
Cooper Kupp's going to get open, and Matt Stafford's going to throw it.
Well, you said it before to me, Dan, on this show so many times. It's players, not plays.
Yeah.
Is it as simple as they just decided, I don't care what they do, I'm going to Kupp here?
Yeah, again, up in the press box, we were all saying there, you're either going to win because Cooper Kupp and Matthew or lose because of Cooper Kupp and Matthew. And I think we saw that. That's how you get that no-look pass. Cooper runs the choice route, sits it down perfectly. They sprint it out, get the pass interference, and then they throw him the fade. And I can't wait to break that down because the nuance of what Sean did for that and then Cooper. But I think the reality is this. They knew going into that last drive that they had the most clutch player in football on their team, and that was Matthew. And he's been called a lot of things in his career. But you got to call him a Super Bowl champion now. And it's because of that 6-minute drive. Greeny, I would honestly say at the end of that drive, that's one of the, if not the most clutch postseason performance stretches ever in the history of the NFL. I mean, we're talking about yesterday's drive. Dude, this goes back to Tampa Bay and then San Francisco. I mean, 3 game-winning, that's never been done. Back-to-back-to-back game-winning drives in the playoffs, and it culminated with one of his best.
Yeah, and you see that it has not happened since 66, so you're going all the way back to the year of the first Super Bowl. So, Jeff, let's talk about Kupp there, though, on that. He winds up being named the MVP. I know that sticks in your – Jeff is all over Aaron Donald today in his performance.
You don't want it to be an offensive lineman.
At the end of the game. It certainly wouldn't have been any of the offensive linemen on the other team, that's
exactly.
For sure. But let's get over to Donald then, because we have so many places to unpack here.
Yeah.
Let's go to Donald. He has talked a bit about retirement. You'll hear him a little bit later in this show talking to Diana Russini. He doesn't say anything definitively one way or another. But if those are the last two plays of his career, can you explain just how impactful they were?
Yeah, greatest two defensive plays I've seen in any Super Bowl. And I'm just telling you straight up, these two plays on a 3rd-and-1, offense has full advantage, right? Like, you understand, all you got to do is get a yard. He literally takes a man, shoves him back 1.5 yards, uses his body as a as a defensive tool, keeps his other arm free, y'all. Now, hold on. He's going to use that same right arm that he was standing a grown man up and grab him and pull him back. Then he goes to the other side of the line of scrimmage on a 4th-and-1 where, again, as an offensive lineman, you have the advantage because the ball's going to come out so you're comfortable with how you're set. Set up outside. No, he swipes your hands, gets you to lean forward, and then closes that thing so fast that he closes the game out. When I tell you it's two of the most dominant plays I've seen from a defensive lineman and a tackle at that, I was there when Von Miller closed it out in Super Bowl 50 and I saw the way they played. There's nothing that compares to those two plays because when it all mattered most, and by the way, to Dan's point, he did it last week, y'all. This ain't the first week he did it either.
Oh, yeah,
he's shutting freaking games down, right? He is shutting games down, and it's that type of closing that makes him literally the greatest player on the field last night, and it showed.
That third down sack, too, when they were in the red zone, yep, to force them to kick the field goal. He made so many big plays last night, and we're going to talk about, again, what we're going to remember is that offensive drive, Stafford and Kupp. We're going to talk about that for the next, whatever, 10 years.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about the plays that Aaron Donald made on his last drive. Those plays are just as important.
Yes.
If they go down and kick that field goal, we're in overtime. They go score a touchdown, we're winning. The same thing, the same pressure that was on Stafford and on Kupp to go score on that other drive, that pressure was on this defense to get a stop, and this man did it back-to-back, 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, damn near by himself.
There was a play we just saw a moment ago, and it was the one where Donald is chasing Burrow over to the sideline, and he shoves him out of bounds, a good step away from the sideline, not
sure,
a dirty play at all, but
no,
he does it pretty physically.
Should.
And the Bengals offensive lineman came over, kind of got in his face.
They should, too.
And as some people are saying that may have motivated Aaron Donald. Look, from that moment forward, it felt like Aaron Donald really took over. Here's the play I'm talking about. From this moment forward, Orlovsky, it feels like Donald, he kind of went up a notch from this moment forward.
Absolutely, and Jeff is right. You as an offensive lineman, and certainly as a quarterback, you want your offensive lineman to go do that. 99's just a different animal. I really believe that yesterday puts him into the conversation with Lawrence Taylor, who's the greatest defensive player ever. He's one of the top 10 players ever. Forget about the position. I think you as a football player want to get into Aaron Donald's face there, but you just woke up the bear. And we talked about this a bunch last week, man. I honestly felt there was no way Aaron Donald was going to lose the game. There was no way that he was going to let his team lose the game. He's that dominant. He was playing against that bad of an offensive line.
Yeah.
He was going to dominate the football game when it mattered the most. And it just felt like it was trending in that direction. Like, this is going to be that storybook ending of course, Matthew's going to get the ball with 5-6 minutes to go, and he's going to lead this game-winning drive, and then Aaron Donald's going to come on the field and become a dominant presence in the Rams. Are somehow going to win the football game and a Super Bowl because of those two players mainly.
Can I say this too about him, about being unselfish? Here's a guy who gets doubled more than anybody in the NFL, still gets his numbers. He gets triple teamed more than anybody else. And here's the deal. He doesn't care. Most defensive linemen, I'm just telling you, I played a long time ago. They will pout, bro. They will give up. When you start doubling them and tripling them, and they get frustrated, they get mad, they get pissed off that their boys are making all the plays. He never gets like that, man. He gets excited for the other guys on his defensive line to make their plays. I love that about him because when it is his moment, he steps up, but he has that ability to be unselfish. That is rare, again, for a player of this stature to let everybody else hunt as well.
You read the numbers on the bottom. Oh, we just had them up. Oh, there they are. Even more clearly. Well done there, Cindy. Thank you. Those numbers, I want to make sure you understand what they say. That is, they're able to gauge the pass rush win rate of the defensive player versus the offensive player. That 82% versus 18 is the most one-sided of any game in the NFL this entire season. Most one-sided. Not postseason game. Most one-sided of any game. What were you just doing over
spanking
there?
Spanking. That is a freaking spanking. That is putting somebody on your knee and just spanking, bro.
But that's what
offensive
we expected.
Lineman, you're nauseous.
That's what we expected.
And they sack him 7 times.
Yeah.
Was there anything, as watching the game and with all of my love and affection for you, I found myself rooting for Cincinnati as the game is going on, and I'm screaming at the TV, do something different.
So you're going to ask me, was there something wrong with their
screens,
play calling?
Yes, could they have run a screen for the love of Christmas?
So my response is this, and you've heard me say this. When you go into a game, the first thing you ask yourself as a play caller is, can we block their front? Mm-hmm. Their answer was absolutely no.
Right.
I would love to come on and kill the coaches for Cincinnati. I can't.
Nope.
That is a very difficult place to be when you know we cannot block them up. On the perimeter, they're good players. Jalen Ramsey's a phenomenal player. We can't push the ball downfield like we want to. Our quarterback, I actually thought Joe Burrow played phenomenal, yeah, instead of given the circumstances. Yeah. So I there's not much you can do.
We had that conversation in the meeting this morning. Was like, who to blame on Cincinnati? We all came to the same conclusion. We should celebrate how far they made it because, frankly, I don't think that they were quite talented enough to be in this game. They had a great run, and they were in the game at the end.
Totally.
But they didn't have the talent to be able to win the lead.
I mean, and listen, when you think about the impact of Joe Mixon, trying to get the ball in his hands, they did target him. The Rams just did a phenomenal job of tackling.
Yeah.
Like, the minute he got up, they came downfield like, they did everything right. You can't blame
the
Bengals.
They tackled really well. Maybe they were running it well when they put the extra offensive lineman on the field and ran their outside zone. Maybe a little bit more, but
of course they did.
I think we're nitpicking.
Yeah.
I think we're nitpicking that just a little. I think this is more of like, you got to credit the Rams. I thought Raheem Morris's plan was phenomenal as well, their defensive coordinator. But I think this is more a credit the Rams rather than the Bengals should have done more of X.
That's fair. But this was exactly the game they won multiple times to get to the Super Bowl. If you look at the game, that's how they beat Tennessee in this game exactly. They beat Kansas City in this game exactly.
They didn't play Aaron Donald. They didn't play Matthew Stafford.
Well, that's the difference. Yeah, Stafford and Kupp make the plays that Mahomes didn't at the end in the overtime last week and the rest of that, and that Ryan Tannehill wasn't able to make. So that is just the table being set today. We are just getting started on
Welcome
this.
Welcome to Monday, boys.
Super Monday.
Monday day.
Joe Burrow said all the right things after the game, but it's crystal clear what needs to get much better in Cincy if he's going to win a Super Bowl. We'll talk about it. And Aaron Donald, the final two plays again last night. If they were his last, they may have been his best. It's a Super Monday. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. And I'll tell you which Ram had the best Super Bowl Sunday. It was Van Jefferson. He wins a ring, and that isn't even the biggest thing that happened to him yesterday. What do you think, guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like his wife worked harder than him, given the circumstances,
God bless, celebrate her.
Nice. That is
what?
Awesome.
She
pushed
out a baby.
You guys call me Monday, Dan.
I was giving her credit.
That's right.
Monday
Dom.
He's the real MVP.
It's Monday Neek. He's ripping the guy who's holding the baby. Congratulations to the entire family of the Jefferson family, plus one after Super Sunday. Coming up, Odell Beckham. Oh, what a brutal moment. Looked like he was on his way to a huge day. What does this mean for his future? What did it mean last night? We're talking about it. Plus, Burrow's Bengals battered and bruised. Was there anything they could have or should have done different on this Super Sunday? I've got ideas. We'll get there next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delivered
delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. And again, a very quick look at some of the biggest plays. Orlovsky's back with us here from yesterday's Super Bowl 56. This was the first play of the second half, Dan. This is the long throw to T. Higgins where he gets away with the face mask.
I love the pocket movement by Joe Burrow, and then he gives his guy a shot downfield. In the moment, I was like, that is obvious offensive pass interference. And I saw a replay, and I was like, ah, maybe Jalen slips. But then you see that face mask get pulled. It has a huge impact on the play. That swung the game. That's obvious. Pass interference.
Yeah, the Bengals had the lead for pretty much the whole second half after that. And then there's Burrow going down. Dan, we all thought his day was done. As he looked closely at him, he was in serious pain.
Writhing in pain on the ground. Great rush by that Rams defensive line.
This was the fourth down play where they gave it to Cup.
Incredible hesitation on the motion by Cooper just to freeze the defense for a second. Them going play fake the other way forces Von Bell one step down. That allows him to get outside.
But this is the no-look pass to Cup.
Just another day. I'm telling everybody, like, I told people he was doing this before Patrick Mahomes was doing it. Everyone thought I was crazy. He was doing the no-look the whole time. I love this. They get him off the ball, create space. He sets the corner. It's a beautiful touch throw.
That was the throw to Cup, his second touchdown of the night, proves to be the game winner. And then this was the play that seals it by Aaron Donald on the fourth down play. He was spectacular on the third and fourth down plays of that final sequence and clinches his first ring. And for the Rams, they get the championship celebration. Sean McVay, all the emotions coming out afterwards. On the other side for Burrow, hopefully there'll be more days like these.
They played really well up front today. You know, I was proud of the way that they fought. I've been proud of the way that they fought all season. So, you know, we all have to get better individually, and myself included.
Well, look, that's a great thing for him to say in that circumstance, not to throw his offensive line under the bus. And then very shortly after the game, he was on Twitter apologizing. They couldn't get it done. You see what he says here. Proud of our team and our fans. It was an unbelievable run. I mean, the ride that the Bengals took their fans and everybody else on, unexpected from the beginning, certainly from the beginning of the season when everyone picked them to be last in the AFC North, all the way to having the lead with 2 minutes left in the Super Bowl. So all of that needs to be said to begin with. Then, when you look at Burrow and he says afterwards, I was proud of the way our guys played up front, because that's the right thing for a quarterback to say, even when he was sacked 7 times and was under duress constantly. Was there anything, as the fans are watching this game, is there anything the Bengals can do differently than just, it seemed, continue to drop him back to throw when he obviously had no chance?
No, I actually thought they managed the game relatively well, Cincinnati. We talked about before, maybe they could have put that extra offensive lineman in the game and ran their outside zone just a little bit more. But Joe was doing a really good job of getting the ball out of his hands.
Yep.
They were making some plays down the field when they took shots to Jamar Chase. I mean, this was a football team that had a lead. You know, they get the interception after they score the huge touchdown to T. Higgins. They get the interception, and all of a sudden you're going, whoa, this could become an 11-point game real quickly. And then the Rams defensive line stepped up. Again, I think this is more a credit to the Rams. We all talked about it going into this game. You are not going to protect Joe Burrow if you play with the 5 guys you played with all season. I think this is what I would say coming out of the game if I was Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. I was incredibly impressed with him again yesterday. He right now is on the Andrew Luck track.
And absolutely.
That cautions me, candidly. I mean, you watch this kid get beat up game after game after game after game. That will not last in this league. And he is a phenomenal. They should win multiple Super Bowls with that kid, okay? The Bengals should win multiple Super Bowls with Joe Burrow. If they don't get it fixed this offseason, he's on the track to become the next Andrew Luck.
Now, to be clear for those who don't know what Dan means by that, Luck, a brilliant player not so long ago who the offensive line, they never got it right. He took a beating and eventually retired much younger than most guys do. Jeff, as an offensive lineman, I ask you the same question. They were just dominated in this game. Was there anything they could have done to change it at all?
No, absolutely not. They just got manhandled. Like we talk about all the time, and Dan does a great job all the time of showing you scheme and why things work. This is one-on-one. This man's going to whip that man. Yeah. And when it gets to that point, it's a cautionary tale, right? And you saw Burrow trying to make play after play, stepping up in boxes, doing those kinds of things. But listen, once the Rams understood how they were going to try to protect him, the center was going to slide to Donald the majority of the time. What do? They walk a mic up to make the center hesitate, and then they literally start playing games. Whether it was
to the right side of the offensive line.
Whether it's Gaines and Von Miller, whether it's Donald and Floyd, they just started literally teeing off. And I tell people, it's when defensive linemen get in a sprinter stance. That means all their weight's on their front end, and they are teeing off. They're hitting your hip. They're spinning. Every move is available to them, and that's literally what happened. And the Cincinnati offensive line could not answer it.
I think the difference that could have been made in this game was there were some key plays where some poor decisions were made. So Joe Burrow hits that fourth down when Higgins is open on the flat.
You're talking about the very beginning of the game.
Very beginning of the game. More points there. Tyler Boyd catches that pass that might keep that thing going. They were overmatched in this game, and you can't make mistakes when you're overmatched. So they made a couple mistakes, which is reasonable, and that's why they came up short. And I think it was a lot of luck that they were even in this game, because it's not like they were dominant driving. Like their points came off a really big plays. Yep. One is off of a penalty. It didn't feel like they were on par with the Rams at most positions. The quarterback was outstanding given the circumstances, but as you watch Aaron Donald walk through your guard, like, you don't stand.
Let me say this too. Talking about situational football, they're 3 of 14 on third down, and they gave up 3 sacks on third down. We talk about situational football all the time in every game in the playoffs. Guess what? Situationally, they got dominated as well.
Very quickly, can we give a little love to the Bengals defense? I don't feel like there was a lot of conversation about them. They were brilliant in this postseason.
Yes.
Right? They're the ones who picked off Ryan Tannehill 3 times. Yep. They're the ones who gave up nothing to Patrick Mahomes after the middle of the second quarter of that game, and they kept them in that game the entire day yesterday for all the problems they had. Let me bring up one thing, because you talk about players but not plays. Samaje Perine had 2 carries in this game for 0 yards. At the end of the game, he's on the field instead of Joe Mixon. And I don't know if that's their usual rotation or not.
It is.
But
it is.
Joe Mixon was successful in this game. Joe Mixon had, where is it here? Joe Mixon had 15 carries for 72 yards in this game, averaged almost 5 yards a carry. He obviously throws the touchdown. He was having himself a very good day. I thought they could have run it a little more and utilized him a little more. And whatever their usual rotation is, I'm not sure if Aaron Donald makes that play if that's Joe Mixon running with the ball.
Yeah, so Perine is their normal third down back. The only thing I would say, because your point is valid, Greeny, the Rams weren't really matching when they flipped the third down backs. They were taking Reader number 51 off the field to begin with in passing situations.
That's right.
So they weren't flipping their personnel. I would have kept Joe Mixon on the field and gave him the football, or at least utilized a potential zone read, because Joe's so athletic. That sometimes when you get caught up in, well, this is what we do in these situations, you don't understand the magnitude
of
the
situation. And they were in 2-minute mode. Like,
right, that's what
thinking.
I was thinking.
Yeah, they were in 2-minute mode, man.
Perine had that big screen pass against the Chiefs. I think they think of that guy as the guy who's going to be the big play guy in the passing game. And when you're in 2-minute mode, that's who they practice with every day, I'm sure, in training camp. And they're not going to go out there.
But they really didn't need to be in 2-minute mode. They had plenty of time. They had a timeout left. They had over a minute left.
Yeah, but you saw, once they get into that personnel and those the groupings, they think about this is what they practice with, and you begin to get a rhythm and a feel of when the guy's gonna, how he's gonna pass protect, if he is, where he's gonna get out for the quarterback, where he's gonna set up. All of those things matter. You don't want this to be the first time you're really going to that at the end of the Super Bowl win. By the way, they've played a really good game, and they know they have a kicker. I think that's, we're splitting hairs saying should we have kept the player in at that moment.
One way or another, there's one other thing that I think needs to be brought up, and I will preface it by saying, under no circumstances can anyone in Cincinnati complain about the officiating costing them a game, because their biggest play of the game clearly should not have been a touchdown. But the third down play here, in which they called defensive holding in a game in which they had not called anything, they were letting everything go, I think to the delight of most football fans, they called this defensive holding. Otherwise, it's going to be a fourth down in this situation. And if the Bengals make one more defensive play, they're going to have an excellent chance to win.
It's a terrible call, and particularly
particularly on Wilson, because he was balling.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like he was all over the place and kind of came out of nowhere as one of the big play guys on that defense. So to mar his performance with that bad call hurts in that moment, but it's still a lot of time left. I don't know, but I do agree with you. That changes the complexion.
Well, I mean, if they stop them there, then the Rams are going to have to use their timeouts, right, and they're going to get the ball, whatever it is. They're certainly going to have a much better chance than if you give them a fresh set of downs in that situation right there. Dan, you're obviously in the stadium. You don't see it as specifically as you're now seeing it over and over and over again. What do you think of this call?
No, alive, I didn't think it was a PI. But to Nick's point, if you are going to throw the flag or not throw the flag on the Jalen Ramsey, T. Higgins, then you can't throw the flag in that situation.
Right.
I thought the sprint out to Cooper Kupp was a legit flag, but I did not think that was a flag.
The refs get nervous, too. Like, that's what it comes down to, is they know the size of that moment. They saw a guy, number 55, covering Cooper Kupp, and he broke it up, and they was like, man, that ain't right. That ain't right. Not on my watch.
Hey, I don't know if we can get the beginning of that play, by the way, but I'm pretty sure the
offensive line jumps.
The two tackles are in their set before the ball set. They should have been blown dead to begin with, so the play should have never happened. I don't know how that
affects the game. There was a couple of plays when, like, the play clock went down to zero for both teams.
And
I was sitting there going, wait, that's a delay.
Everybody
was tight. Everybody was tight.
The game was delightfully devoid of a lot of penalties, which I think most fans generally like. And so then to see a festival of flags and that final sequence was a little disappointing. Meanwhile, one of the things that was clearly a highlight was the halftime show. We'll get Dan's thoughts on it from being in the stadium in a moment. But you know who liked it was Evan McPherson, the Bengals kicker. He was out there watching the halftime show from the field. Jeff, you played in Super Bowls. Is that supposed to happen?
I don't think so. I was never out there, I can assure you. So that he's out there just chilling, living his best life. And look, you know, if that dude had a chance to kick one at the end, I'd feel good about him as anybody else in the league.
You don't mess with kickers. He's like closers. You don't say anything to him. Let him do whatever he got to do. As long as he's making them kicks, you can watch the halftime. You can perform in the halftime show. I don't care what you do.
He wasn't even born when the dudes were hype either. He wasn't born. He just out there seeing it.
Yo, it's so funny watching some of the press boxes and then some of the fans go nuts for the music, and some people are looking at us like, what y'all doing? If you weren't in that age window, you thought everyone was super weird.
Man, down 50.
That might not be the only demographic by which that was divided. As we continue in a moment, our next ACC Big 12 Big Monday doubleheader, Virginia Tech hosting Virginia in Blacksburg at 7 Eastern. Then you got Kansas taking on Oklahoma State at Allen Fieldhouse. Both games right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. As we continue, Cooper Kupp is the Super Bowl MVP after another game-winning touchdown. But should the honor have gone elsewhere? We're kicking it around. Talking Super Bowl. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile, and it is time for your wake-up call. Good morning, L.A. The Rams have won the Super Bowl for the first time this millennium. Give a listen.
Less than a yard to gain on fourth down with 43 seconds remaining. Burrow to throw for it. He flings it away on fourth down. Aaron Donald got there. Donald takes his helmet off in celebration. And you can build that man's statue out SoFi Stadium right now. The greatest of all time on defense does it in the biggest moment of Super Bowl 56. Rings for the Rams! The Los Angeles Rams are world champions!
That's a great call. And that man was unbelievable. Again, Aaron Donald, before the missed no call that gave Cincy a 17-13 lead in the third, Donald was quiet, no tackles, no sacks. After that, he just took over the game. Four pressures, four tackles, two sacks. After the game, he talked with our Diana Russini about what's next.
I feel amazing. It's a dream come true. I get the experience with the fans. with my teammates, and I got my family with me, so it means the world. This means everything. I'm just in the moment right now. I'm enjoying this with my family, and I'm just living in the moment right now. That's it.
In case you didn't hear about it over the weekend, the reason that this is coming up to some degree is that he hinted that he might retire, particularly if they won the game, that he might retire. He's 30 years old. He is, goes without saying, not starting to decline. He was the best player on the field yesterday. If that was his last game, what do we say about Aaron Donald?
I mean, he's certainly the best defensive player that we've seen in recent years. And he's probably the best football player that we've had in the league, including Tom Brady, including Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. If you look at how good a person is compared to their peers, the things that he does, they're not as sexy as the no-look passes or comeback victories for quarterbacks, but they are more impressive and more difficult, what he does on a down-in and down-out basis.
Build the statue. Exactly what he said. You just saw him right here, that play that he pushed him. He's triple-teamed, y'all. He is triple-teamed on that. But why did his numbers go for the second half? Because they can't triple-team him anymore. They actually gave him some help where he could go show how dominant he was. He closes
that
the
play
game
right
out.
There, the strength on that play.
Yeah, the two greatest
look at this.
Plays.
Look how strong you have to be to do this. And then he stops his momentum. A whole man
with the right arm.
A whole man is running. He put one arm in front of him with another enormous man on him and stopped him. An entire adult man.
That's why you put three of them on him. Because you can't do it with one or two. Put three of them on him.
Dan, you made the comment earlier that you have to start putting him in the conversation with the greatest defensive players of all time. Now, I think most of us, most people, will immediately go to Lawrence Taylor on that. If it's who's the greatest defensive player of all time, I think Lawrence Taylor is usually the default answer on that. You may make an argument for Reggie White and Dick Butkus and maybe some other names that would come to mind. He's got to be in there, right?
Absolutely. Aaron Donald is in the conversation for being the greatest defensive player ever.
Yeah.
He is. If he's not two, he's one.
Yeah.
I don't think he's three. Yeah. I think he's the best defensive player that I've ever seen. For me, the thing that separates him is I don't know if I've ever seen a football player be so physically dominant over the course of a game, over the course of a season, over the course of a career. Like, just so physically dominant. You guys talked about that third and one stop. Honestly, in the stadium, it looked like he got the first down by 3 yards. We were like, oh, first down. And he grabs the guy because there's the hold there. The ability to run quarterback, like, that's a shove. Joe Burrow just gets shoved. Dude, they're kicking the center and the guard that way to him.
Yeah, and he still can't get outside.
And he still gets there because he's so physically dominant. So he's the best defensive player I've ever seen. He's one of the best football players I've ever seen. And I absolutely think now that he's a Super Bowl champion, he is in the conversation for being the best defensive player ever in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Listen, his technique, his fundamentals, and when you go watch, we call it teaching tape. When you break down his teaching tape, it is insane. Like hand placement, hat placement, hip level. If you were to design a defensive player and show how should you play this, because a man of his size and stature should not be able to do this. You are literally 285 pounds against 700 pounds often, and you still have enough strength and force to make these plays. You cannot describe how good he is.
It's not teaching tape because nobody else can do it.
Right.
You show that to another defensive lineman and say,
he'll be like,
do that. Like, what? Do what?
I ain't got it in
the
coach.
Monday, Dan has said a lot of hyperbolic things today, but the one thing that you said might be an understatement is saying that he's in the conversation. That's the only thing that no one in their right mind has watched football can say that anything about that is an exaggeration.
What if I said that type of box today?
We're not going to get into it. I want you to enjoy your
day,
baby.
We'll do that a little bit later.
I want to enjoy your day, baby. I want you to enjoy your day, baby.
Today ain't the day to come at me. It ain't the day, boys.
I am not. Enjoy your day.
Dan, fresh off of the red-eye coach class from L.A., which
is quite a tough tighten that thing. He's in middle seat.
Can I get a bag of Cheez-Its, please?
That's quite remarkable. All right. Speaking of that, let's do awesome, awful, and awkward coming off of last night's Super Bowl. Dan, what did you see that was awesome last night?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome after the game to watch Matthew, who, again, I've known for a long time now, as a person who for a while did not want to have a family, spend time on the field after the game, after his Super Bowl victory with his daughters there just playing the confetti. Again, everyone got to see the athletic performance, and it was phenomenal, but just to see one of your friends as a dad share that moment with his family, I thought it was the coolest moment of the weekend.
We were looking for you and making the snow angels down there, or the confetti angels. Neek, what was awful in this game?
This particular play, having Cooper Kupp on his 35, yeah. Our buddy Matt Stafford, like, Sean McVay is a great coach, but he had a rough run in these playoffs.
Wasn't that the Tom Brady play?
That was the Tom Brady play.
Maybe you guys understand throwing it under pressure is a little harder than you think.
Not harder than I think.
That's
it was there. Jeff, what was awkward in this Super Bowl?
Vernon Hargreaves, what are you doing, bro? Why are you out in the middle of the end zone celebrating an interception in some slides, a towel, and a cutoff sweatshirt with your phone that you're trying to hold in your little pouch or pocket? Absolutely embarrassing. He still got his buds in his ear, bro. Like, you got no business being on the field, bro. That's the dumbest thing I saw.
Candidly, graduate from Carolina?
Look, don't you do it.
We can laugh about it because it is hilarious, but it's also inexcusable. Absolutely. And it really does change the scenario there. There's two minutes left in the half when they make that interception. And instead of being on the 25, they're on the 10-yard line. They have to handle that situation very cautiously, and they don't wind up even trying to score points offensively.
And the Rams almost got a chance. And people will say,
well, no big deal because the Rams didn't score. But maybe Cincinnati puts together a little bit of a two-minute drive at the end here. We'll never know. But the penalty itself might wind up having been
significant. It's
kind
of a DB thing to do, right?
I kind of enjoyed it. I'm not a backup.
That's exactly what I knew you were going to say.
If I was on his team, I'd be mad. If I had money on the game, I'd be upset. If I was a Bengals fan, I'd be furious. But as a guy sitting at home, I was like, is he out on the field? It slides. I'm cracking up. I thought it was awesome.
I love he held his phone.
I know.
I was like, did you enjoy it?
No. What was it like being in the stadium and seeing that? Like, what are you thinking when you're seeing
it? My initial thought was, thanks, idiot.
You got the ball.
There was a playoff game where the Jets scored a touchdown, and Rex Ryan, their coach at the time, ran into the end zone to celebrate. At least he was coaching the game. He was actually taking part in the proceedings.
Didn't McVay run into the end zone to celebrate a touchdown one time?
Vernon
Hargreaves. The coach did it.
As we continue on the ball.
The coach is a part of the game.
Hargreaves was deactivated.
Matthew Stafford came up huge while Joe Burrow was running for his life. How the Rams made every play exactly when they needed to become champions. That's how they won Super Bowl 56. More on that as we continue with Get Up Here, which is brought to you by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. From where you tailgate, only T-Mobile keeps you connected to your team with the most 5G coverage nationwide. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.